The world outside your window may not be so great, but here on Post Show Recaps, everything is low-key. Kind of super. It's Everything is Super covering Loki on Post Show Recaps. Hello, everybody. I'm Josh Wigler, joined here by, I don't know, he's not a god of mischief, but he's a mischievous guy. It's Kevin Mahadeo.
I am quite mischievous. I think that's an accurate description of myself. Also,
what's the most mischievous thing you've ever done?
Well, if I told you, that could ruin it if it's like a long-term thing I'm doing to you.
Are you long-conning me?
That would be a right set of mischief right there.
Nah, I see right through all of your ploys, all your tricks. I'm the trickier one of us, I think.
That's probably accurate.
I think I'm... Yeah, I do bits.
I'm blunt instrument. I guess you're Loki and I'm Thor. I'm a blunt instrument.
Yes. I think that that's right. Also, I have seen Kevin in cut-off t-shirts, so I can attest to the fact that he has also got ripped biceps like Chris Hemsworth.
Since this is a podcast, we're just going to all assume that it's accurate and true to the highest degree.
I know we're talking Loki, but as we are recording this, on June 2nd, 2021. Kevin, did you see the picture that's making the rounds of the wrapped filming on Thor, Love, and Thunder?
Oh, yes.
And Chris Hemsworth's arm looks like a Mack truck.
Yeah, that's his relaxed pose, apparently.
Chris Hemsworth's entire arm looks like Tom Hiddleston. His arm is just like the size of a human.
It's quite ridiculous. You know,
it's pretty wild.
I think I like what Kumail said quite some time ago when he had to get ripped for his Marvel movie coming up, The Eternals. And I like that he made the post where it's just like, hey, this should not be a standard. I am extremely lucky that my job provides me with a personal trainer, hours at the gym. This shouldn't be a thing we should strive for. And it shouldn't be a thing we should strive for, but god damn, would it be nice to have that?
It looks good. It looks cool. It looks great. But yeah, I think the road to get there seems arduous and undesirable to me. I'd rather go the easy way. I'd rather figure out some sort of cheat code to get that bod a la Loki. I bet that's what Loki would do. Do you like how I'm pivoting us back to the topic at hand? Because
that's
Loki,
why you're a professional, Josh.
Because Loki is here. We're almost here. This is Loki preview show. We're going to keep it tight. I think we got some feedback to get into. We want to talk about the show loosely, but really what we want to do is we just like want to start like pitter-pattering our way towards returning to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Of course, in the past few weeks of Everything is Super, Kevin and I spent the last 4 weeks talking about the Superman movies, the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. Specifically, if you didn't check that out for some reason, if you're new to Everything is Super, first of all, welcome. We talk about the superheroes here, as the title of the podcast implies. More often than not, it is Marvel Cinematic Universe inclined, just because the MCU is so pervasive. How could we not be talking about the MCU all the time? But we do occasionally sidebar away from that stuff. We have swung into Spider-Man in the past. We talked about the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. We most recently talked about the Christopher Reeve Superman quadrilogy, and had such an incredible time. But it is now time, after several weeks away from the MCU. It has been, not quite 2 months since Falcon and the Winter Soldier flew off as Captain America and the Winter Soldier. And now we are voyaging forward into Loki, following Tom Hiddleston back into the MCU after, I don't know, dying at least twice. He's died, I think, right? Like, he fake died and then he real died, but now he's back. We'll get into all the timey-wiminess
he's
of it all.
He's Jean Grey of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There's a lot to unpack as it pertains to all of that. So what we're going to be doing here is Loki is a 6-episode TV series. We are going to podcast about each and every episode. We'll also do a wrap-up show by the end of the season as well. So about 8 podcasts all told on Loki, starting here. Just a little bit of a table setter, Kevin. We are talking about a character who has been a seminal anti-hero. Is he an anti-hero yet, or has he just been like a straight villain? Like, I don't know how you would necessarily classify him.
It's really tough, and it's really tough to fully answer that question in terms of the character we're gonna end up seeing in this movie, because if you've been watching the MCU and following along this podcast, we've definitely discussed a journey of this character somewhat extensively in our coverage. He started off in Thor, I think, very much as a villain in that movie, you know, someone who quickly turned from like kind of a tricky guy into like, I'm going to be a full out villain here, was the one of the main antagonists, if not the main antagonist, really, in the first Avengers movie, and has had quite a journey, this version of Loki, in the OG MCU, where I do think that version of the character, the one we saw, I do think became a bit of an anti-hero. I think he went through a real big character journey, and we really discussed that, about how I really liked how he ended up. And then, you know, at that point, death was the only thing left for him. But yeah. Josh, that's not who we're seeing in this show.
As Secretary of Defense Nimzicki once told President Whitmore, Mr. President, that's not entirely accurate.
Somebody's been watching 24.
No, that's Independence Day. And I think that's the second time I've said that exact quote on a podcast in the last like month. I'm going to try and do that every month.
It was about Area 51, right? That was the plausible deniability.
There is no area. There is no Area 51. Mr. President, the late, great James Rebhorn. So Loki, it's coming. It's going to be coming out on Wednesdays. It is premiering June 9th. These podcasts will typically record on Thursday nights. They will get into your podcast feed as early as humanly possible on Fridays. Probably, I would say like a late morning East Coast time is what we are going to aim for, but you'll get these on Fridays is the plan. We'll do it episode by episode the same way we've talked about WandaVision, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. We'll have guests along the way. I'm sure both LaTanya and Mike Bloom will have things to say. I'd love to check in with them, see what they've got on their mind. I shall not be making any bets about eating snakes, Kevin.
Smart man. Because that snake would then turn into a real live person and stab you.
I don't trust it. I'm not doing it. That's Mike's turf. That's not a me thing. Mike Bloom, probably the trickster god of podcasting, actually would be if I had to cast it, I think that Mike Bloom as the Loki makes a lot of
really
sense.
He's not like the Zachary Levi.
No way. He's the Loki for sure. He's always up for some hijinks. I love hijinks too, so I'm very excited to get into the hijinks here. So of course, subscribe to Everything is Super if you have not done so already. This way you will make sure that you do not miss a single episode. You also want to get us your feedback each and every week if you can. Super@postshowrecaps.com is our email address. We also have Kevin and I both have Post Show Recaps emails. Josh@postshowrecaps.com, Kevin@postshowrecaps.com. We're on Twitter @RoundHoward, @KevMahadeo. I'll let you sort out who is who. You can mix us up. Could be fun. Of course, we're also in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord, which is our Discord server for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. A really thriving, wonderful, beautiful, in fact, community of people who are huge Marvel fans. Fans of all sorts of pop culture, talking snacks, talking Loki, talking all sorts of things. You can become a member of the best community that is on the internet. It'll change your life. For $10 a month is the Post Show Recaps patron Discord if you want to talk to us there. Or, of course, if you just want awesome exclusive podcasts such as Kevin Talks Mighty Ducks. He's got another podcast series that's going to be launching not terribly long from now that is exclusive for the patrons of Post Show Recaps. If you can't get enough Kevin Mahadeo, you can sign up patreon.com/postshow. Show Recaps. You are supporting the podcast, making it possible for Kevin and I and all of our colleagues to bring you podcasts and shows like this one. Before we get into it officially, Kevin, I want to take one last second to thank our sponsors for this episode of Post Show Recaps. Those are our friends over at Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Kevin Mahadeo, what do you know about Loki, the TV show?
Very little. I notoriously try to...
That's a terrible start, I feel like, right? To be like, hey, okay, so now listen to our podcast. I know nothing about the thing we're talking about.
I know some basics, right? Because, like, my whole thing is that I try to avoid trailers. I couldn't avoid this one. This one was a hard one to avoid. Plus, I'm honestly very hyped for it. Because I like going in as blank as possible, right? So, like, I know Owen Wilson's in it. I know that there's some time shenanigans, which makes me, even more excited for this. And from what I can glean, right, this show doesn't follow, as mentioned, the Loki that we know and loved from throughout the MCU. This follows a Loki that we saw very briefly in Avengers Endgame, in which they go back in time to do the time heist. If you have no idea what we're talking about, one, I suggest you watch Endgame, and two, you can check out our coverage of that in our Everything is Super Avengers Endgame.
Go back to the start of the podcast feed. Kevin Mahadeo and I recorded podcasts about each and every single Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. So we're like fully in MCU-wise. You can track our journey if you need that refresher. I think that you will you'll be very happy that you have done so.
Or very angry, mean and hateful at my takes. I'm kidding. I love all of you.
It's not impossible.
I have some takes.
It's certainly possible. Certainly possible.
No, but this version is the one we saw briefly in Endgame, right? That scene where they're doing the time heist and they were trying to get the Tesseract and shenanigans ensued. The Tesseract got not free, and this version of Loki, who was under arrest at the time, grabbed the Tesseract and vanished. And from what we can tell, this is tracking this version of the character who shows up, who disappeared, and we're going to be following them through some what appear to be time shenanigans. And literally everything I just said is so up my alley, it's not even funny. I'm out of all of the ones that we've seen, I feel like this show is sort of leaning into like what I was partially hoping WandaVision was going to be. And I think really what WandaVision was, but in a different way. I love time shenanigans. I love parallel worlds. It seems like this is might be messing a bit with that, with especially with the timeline of the MCU. So I'm really pumped about that part of it. And as far as like what I know, that's almost it. I know, like I said, Owen Wilson's in it. He has a mustache, I think.
Looks like he's got a mustache.
So,
folks.
Yes, I know Owen Wilson has a mustache.
Can you see this mustache? Wow. So nice.
Wow.
So bushy.
Wow. Do you like my mustache? Wow.
It catches a lot of food and crime. Owen Wilson is showing up with a mustache. I mean, this is effectively it. Loki is centering on Loki, but it's not the Loki we have tracked through like his redemption arc where he was the bad guy. He brought all of the Chitauri to Earth. He rained fire on New York. He fake died in Thor the Dark World. He became King of Asgard. He stopped being King of Asgard. He did get help with Thor on Sakaar, and then he ended up getting his neck snapped at Thanos' hands, and then that's it, and you think it's done. But no, they do the time heist, and he blinks out, and that's the guy. So the guy who stole the Tesseract and disappeared is the Loki that we are watching. So this is a Loki who is fresh off the heels, like literally like an hour removed from trying to conquer New York City, is the main character of this show. The man who just got like smashed around Tony Stark's loft
by the Hulk,
his penthouse apartment in Stark Tower by the Hulk like a rag doll, is the guy that we are going to be following through this series. I think that's fun. That's very different from what we have gotten with the two Marvel Cinematic Universe shows on Disney Plus so far. Certainly with Falcon and the Winter Soldier, these are outright heroes. The Winter Soldier certainly has a checkered past, but Bucky is, you know, trying to get past that. Like he's over that. We never really have to worry too much about him reactivating as the Winter Soldier. It's not a thing on the show. In WandaVision, it's sort of Wanda's Breaking Bad type of story, and can she come back from that? With Loki, the question isn't like, is this a Breaking Bad? Like he's
broken. He has broken all the bads.
He's bad, but will he break good again? Because he's done that before. But he had the influence of his brother. He had the influence of a very different set of circumstances. What we are to understand is this Loki, who is termed a variant, which is a hilarious term. I don't know if that comes from like the content of the comics, but certainly like variant covers.
It's a meta commentary, certainly, for you know, like the comic industry.
Variant covers are like the thing of the comics industry.
I want to see the holofoil version of Loki show up in this.
Like hologram covers, yeah. Like, is this a CG seed Loki? You know, a Loki in a slab. He's a 9.8. Like, that's hysterical to me. So it's a variant Loki whose very existence apparently is like a threat to the stability of time and space. And so this must be set right. And he is going to be, this is what we are to understand, is that he's going to be enlisted by the Time Variance Authority, this organization that patrols time. I don't know much about them as far as Marvel Comics is concerned. I'm not sure if you're much hipper to it, Kevin, the TVA.
I remember them vaguely from, and this is so way back, but I believe they also served a really big part of Dan Slott's She-Hulk run. They are essentially like time cops, not Jean-Claude Van Damme time cops, but
if only. Yeah.
But like essentially the time police of the Marvel universe. But they also extend very oddly beyond just time itself, because the Marvel universe, from the comics, the Marvel comic universe, has a lot of alternate worlds, alternate realities, and there's so many branches and things of that. You know, there's like a team called the Exiles who are from all different universes who hop around quantum leap style trying to fix right what once went wrong in alternate worlds. So what's interesting here is that we don't know a lot about this version of the Time Variance Authority and how they're going to deal with stuff. Because while we had some time shenanigans in Endgame, how time works, how alternate realities work, all of that in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we have no idea. This is really our first true foray into that, because while Endgame messed around with stuff, it was all based on the theories of our main characters, who I think they even admit had no idea what they were doing. So correct. It's really interesting because this is exploring something that, you know, we kept talking about, are we going to see this in WandaVision? When are we going to see this? Is it going to be Doctor Strange? But it could very well see that we're kind of exploring this really sci-fi weird part of the Marvel universe in live action for the first time, really.
Yeah. It could be really neat. It makes me wonder, you know, we should be dealing very heavily with time travel. The seal is broken. Time travel is a thing. Now we get to really go in
they
on
broke
it.
The seal. Are they going to cross the streams? That's a real big question.
It would be bad. But it just like, you know, they referenced like Back to the Future in Avengers Endgame. I'm curious, like, you know, what are some of the touchstones, like the pop culture touchstones for this? Like, I can imagine a Bill and Ted vibe. You know, is he going to go and meet Abraham Lincoln?
I would love it, right?
is he going to go and hang out with Socrates? You know, So like, what are they going to do? I think that there's a lot of potential here, which leads us, to this, bit of feedback from the great Torby, your friend and mine here on Everything Is Super. Everything is low key, really great. This is from Torby, who writes in, here's a semi-underrated name that has made me very excited for this show. Michael Waldron. He's the head writer for this show, who has previously written for Rick and Morty in the past.
Sorry. if I wasn't excited already, I think that just broke me.
a Rick and Morty alum is the head writer here on Loki, as we're talking about, like, what are some of, like, the influences that are going to be prevalent in
that's
Loki.
That's going to be very interesting, because Rick and Morty,
you've got somebody who's played in the Rick and Morty playground, and those who haven't watched Rick and Morty, first of all, I'd recommend it. It's weird as hell. Super weird. And very funny. If you're into cartoons and you've got like a crude sense of humor and you just like really wonky, weird sci-fi, it doesn't get much weirder and more complex and headier, but also hilarious than Rick and Morty. If those are the sensibilities that are in play in Loki with Tom Hiddleston as Loki, should be pretty fun.
It should be very fun. I mean, the writers of Rick and Morty they pack so much stuff in there, especially so much sci-fi elements that are really fascinating and interesting. What is really interesting, though, is Rick and Morty notoriously does not touch time travel for very specific reasons. They refuse to do time travel. They've done it once. The closest they can get was the Snake episode, and that episode is one of my favorite of the series, and it's incredible. But it's going to be interesting then seeing that the writer essentially delve into something they don't do in Rick and Morty here on Loki, and what that could mean and how that can play out. Rick and Morty has dealt with alternate universes, but that's really cool, very fun. And if that is a hint of the type of zany comedy we can be expecting, my oh my, are we in for a ride?
So this is more from Torby after giving us that tidbit. Torby continues and says, after finishing the script for this season of Loki, Michael Waldron was immediately placed as a main writer for Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness around the same time that Sam Raimi was named the new director. And he's been announced to be the writer also of Kevin Feige's Star Wars film. So Torby says, as somebody who enjoys following these types of inside baseball stories, I can't not think that this is an indication that Feige and Marvel Studios love the story of Loki that they have on their hands. So it sounds like the person who wrote this show has then gone on to write a very important Marvel project, and is also Kevin Feige, who is allegedly producing a Star Wars movie, has enlisted this person to work on it. This seems to be a sign of extraordinary confidence in what they have on their hands. And I remember when the ideas of these Disney Plus shows were first being floated out and first being like reported on in the trades, that Loki was like mentioned in like that like first breath. So like this has been like a starting project for a long time, like since the inception of this idea. And the fact that it's coming from a writer who has a really cool pedigree and has apparently then been like asked to work on some other very, very important stuff. For me, I know I shouldn't do this. The key to happiness is low expectations, but my expectations for this are really, really high. I kind of think that Loki should be able to kill it. It's only 6 episodes. You got a thing? Like, this should be, like, the deck is pretty set for this to be pretty dope.
I hope so. Like I mentioned, out of, I think, all the ones, I'm pretty hyped for this one, right? It's this and What If. What If is probably my number one. But this... the more I had found out about it, the more excited I got, because again, it's very up my alley. And now knowing the creative team involved, I'm pretty pumped. And I think to me, this is also similar to the Russos, you know, who came off of, off of TV, were handed Captain America, and then were handed the keys to the Avengers franchise. I think if that's an indication of where we could be going here with this writer, that's really exciting and fantastic. I mean, if that worked out real well, I hope history repeats itself and it works out really well here. I hope Loki is really awesome and fun and exciting and timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly. You know, I really want that. I really want to know also, like, what are the rules? How are you playing with time travel? These are all the things that like get Kevin like amped and excited, which is a state of being that I'm not normally in. So when I'm there, it's exciting for me to be here.
My question for you, Kevin, is, does Loki hold up without Thor? You know, this is probably going to be a Thorless show, would be my guess.
I don't know why that makes me laugh, Thorless.
I don't imagine we are getting Thor in here. You could always, you know, it'd be great. There certainly would be reason to bring Chris Hemsworth here. And it is kind of odd to imagine Loki without Thor in some regard. Do we think that that's going to be fine? Are you nervous about that at all? Do you think that Loki, as we have seen him in the MCU and like the Loki that we know of comics lore, there have been many iterations of Loki, very, you know, several different versions of the character Kid Loki. There's, you know, Kid Loki is like a little tiny kid who runs around as Loki. He's probably like 12 years old. There's like a teenage Loki who is like kind of a sassy teen. There's Lady Loki. There's so many Lokis. The Loki, indeed.
The low-key Loki,
Hawkeye. There's a lot of possibilities here. But do you think that it's going to be able to withstand being without the God of Thunder, or do you think that there's going to be a Mjolnir-sized shadow cast over Loki?
I suppose the
Chris Hemsworth bicep-sized shadow.
That's no moon. That is Chris Hemsworth biceps. Honestly, I actually think I think he's going to hold up great, and I think this is probably better for the character. We've seen what happens to Loki when he's around Thor for a long period of time, right? We've seen that character journey. So it'd be interesting to see a very different journey for this character. And it's one of those things, you put a character in a different situation, how does he react? Is him becoming a good, you know, a semi-good guy by the end of his original journey, a thing about him or about the circumstance, you know, nature versus nurture, et cetera, et cetera. So I actually think this will be good to see a Loki that doesn't have that Thor shadow over him. I also think that, yeah, he can definitely hold his own in terms of like carrying a story and carrying a series. Loki has always been extremely, extremely popular amongst the fandom. Like, you know, the fans love this guy. That's why he kept coming back. And I think that's going to translate here. I think people really are excited about this character. I think people want to see this character. I think Tom Hiddleston as this character is having a great time every single time he puts on the long dark-haired wig or grows his hair out. So I do think that this is going to work really well in terms of like not having Thor around. What's going to be weird to me is figuring out how that works in terms of the time travel, right? Like, does he not deal with the main Avengers at all? If they don't show up, are they body doubles because he can't interfere with them? Because then that affects time, right? You can't screw up time too much. And certainly if he runs into the Avengers at different points in time and the wrong time, it'll really, really mess things up. So there is ways around that, but it does make me interested in how are they going to play with that part of it. Because to me, the shadow isn't, he's not there to interact with, but the shadow of like the Avengers need to be sort of present in the sense of messing around with the Marvel timeline. So how do they get around that part? That's the shadow that I think is going to be interesting to try and look at.
Yeah, do we think that this is going to like really complicate this even more? Like, do we think that that we are going to get to a place where there are just like so many different branches that this show is going to give us the, like, is this going to be a show that's just like going to totally muddy the timeline so that like when you go to the Marvel Cinematic Universe Wikipedia, you're going to see a timeline that looks like, I don't know, Netflix is Dark,
or which Primer, I don't know if the movie.
Yeah, like graphics that'll boggle your mind.
I mean, there's a possibility, certainly, but I don't know. I'm a big fan of the multiverse stuff. I'm a huge fan of like mucking with time. And part of me is just like, just watch the stuff in order. We don't really need this like heavy, heavy timeline. And once time is broken, it's fine. Just don't think too hard about it. It depends on the rules. I mean, ultimately, it really depends on the rules and how the world works. And that's the stuff we don't know yet. And ideally, they'll explain some of that away. But as for like making a timeline, can it get complicated? Certainly. But the easy explanation is always just every time they go back in time, they create a new timeline, right? They just break off into a new reality. So the main Marvel universe still exists. That timeline still carries on as it always does in a straight path. But every time he loops back, whatever he hits, that point will skew the timeline. I wish I was Doc Brown right now, just drawing that line and draw the like skewing off underneath, you know, of this new timeline, underline it twice to show how that's happening. I think that stuff can be done, can be explained away just that simply, where every time he goes back, yeah, this is a new reality we're looking at. And the realities aren't going to cross over that much. You're not going to have like, I don't know, you know, Captain America now. You're not going to have Sam, you know, go back in time, go to the alternate reality. We don't know that that's going to happen yet. So you don't have to worry about the main Marvel heroes mucking stuff up like this or interacting with these alternate versions or worrying about that. So, I mean, that's a long way to say I don't know, but I don't think it's going to be as bad as people might think it is. I think people get really scared about time travel, and I think that fear is a little overblown.
How much do you think this is going to connect to what's next in the MCU? So if we're saying that the writer of this show is also writing Multiverse of Madness, does Loki just like, is this like a setup? Or are we too cautious at this point to like really go there? Like if we're going into this like expecting this to like be like the on-ramp, I mean, for the next big thing.
Do we want to end up in a WandaVision situation, basically? Well,
you know, let me pivot the question. We have two shows under our belt now. What we also have, and this is from your friend and mine, Mike Bloom. Mike writes in, how do we feel about the gap between Falcon and the Winter Soldier in this? Was having a bit of time off for the MCU good, or do we feel that some momentum was lost? Between WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier, there was a week, and now there's been multiple weeks since our last bit of MCU. Is the distance good? And on top of that, do we now have like a clearer sense of expectations for like what we are going to be getting out of these shows? Like things that may have like long-term ramifications eventually, but are more character studies rather than being like, this is like Avengers 5 in television form.
Yeah. And I think ultimately these are all probably going to be character studies. I think every series we're going to get is going to be a character study, as fiction is. But what I would like is a mix-in of some of the bigger stuff. One of the things that was exciting in the original announcement about the Marvel TV shows, right, the Disney Plus series, is the idea that we're going to look at an integrated world where TV and movies are going to dissect, intersect, we're going to see causality, we're going to see things that are going to be huge to lead from one into the other into the other. That promise, I don't think, has really been fulfilled necessarily. And some people are going to argue, they never promised that. They certainly implied it. Was going to be different from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This was going to be different from the Netflix series. This was going to be stuff that felt important. And I think the biggest things coming out of this, though, besides little things, I think, again, you could go from the ending of Endgame to whatever comes next in Captain America, not watch Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and you'll probably be fine. Because all you would have seen is, you know, Steve handing over the shield, being, you should be Cap, and then the next time, he's Cap. Well, okay. Like, there it is. Even for WandaVision, I the ramifications of that, unfortunately, for better or worse, I don't think are going to be explored in the way that they probably should be. So we didn't get that there either. You could have skipped that series and probably still continued on to the Marvel Universe. You can do character work and have big things, and I really want that to exist in these TV shows. I want these TV shows to feel important. And right now, as much as I've enjoyed them, I don't think we felt that. They have a chance here. They have a chance to set up some big stuff and do some huge things that could have ramifications. To Mike's point, what does this break signify? You know, what does it mean? So you can look at Falcon and you can look at WandaVision as almost the final transition points as we head into the real phase four of the MCU, right? Like, those are both shows about the after effects and aftershocks about what happened with Thanos and the snap. So what's the next phase? What are we heading into? I think we can start that with Loki. We can start some of the bigger stuff that we'll see what phase four is about in Loki. Or they just continue as it is. And we're still left in this weird limbo of like, okay, well, what is phase four going to be? Is it more of the same? Sure, that's great. But like, something new, something different would be cool. You know what I mean? That's really what I'm hoping for here. And if it's not, if it's just a character study, I'm sure I'll enjoy it. But I feel like it's a missed opportunity to do something big. And it makes sense. There's a break now. There's that break. The one outlier is still Black Widow. Outlier for goddamn everything still, in my opinion. That movie makes no sense in its placement and existence. But they have an opportunity between the break of Falcon to actually make it be a real break between phases as we head into some bigger stuff. So take that swing, Marvel. You already did it, so we'll see if you took the swing or not. But I hope you did.
There are rumors that Loki is going to be the first of these shows that actually leads to a second season. That unlike WandaVision, which seems to be a done in one story, or Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which seems to be setting up, the next Captain America movie. Those are the reports that we are going to get Captain America 4, with Sam Wilson's Captain America, that Loki season 2 might be a thing. And this question comes our way from Felipe, who says, what do you think of the fact that Loki is already in pre-production for season 2? Should that be true? And where would we see a season 2 dropping with the current slate? Kevin, there's like 1,000 different shows on the way. There's Ms. Marvel, there's Hawkeye, there's She-Hulk, there's Moon Knight, there's Secret Invasion. These are just the ones I can rattle off the top of my head while thinking about it. Do you think that like we get a Loki second season? Like, is Loki like going to be like the MCU's annual show? Do you expect that this is something that we wouldn't get again for a while?
You know, that's really tough and interesting, because can Loki get a season 2? Yes. I definitely think that if the show is what we are imagining it to be, not even the grand scale of things, just a fun romp through time that messes around with the Marvel Cinematic Universe's timelines and stories and just has a bit of fun. If this is Marvel's Timeless, yeah, it can get a season two. Will it get more than a season two? If it is, it's timeless. Maybe not, but it'll get a movie, I guess. But it can go on for a while. It's things you could do with it. There's certainly fun to be had. The premise of the series, I think, can set up a pretty reoccurring series, but multiple seasons. Loki can be, you know, excuse my comic bookiness here, the Booster Gold of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, a guy who's just jumping through time and people don't really know about it, fixing problems, right? Or I guess if we really want to go Sam Beckett style, Quantum Leap, and, you know, like maybe Loki becomes a Quantum Leap series. Should that character be Loki? Should season two of this continue with Loki as this character and a journey that he's going to have? I don't know. I don't know if I do think that should be the case. I think it'd be cool to set up something where we more follow the TVA after this, right? Like, what are some characters from that that we follow into these time-hopping nonsense? I think that could be fun. I just don't know about Loki himself as a character in a perpetually running series.
I guess we'll find out. I mean, you know, we have no idea yet. I love Tom Hiddleston, and the thing that I'm really excited about is the possibility of, are we finally going to crack open multiple loci? Like, is
four
that
locos,
where we are?
Four loci,
you know? Yeah,
four crack loci. Open a four loci.
that shit's illegal, you know? Like, the TVA is coming for you if you start cracking open four loci. I'm pretty hyped on that. Like, there are, as mentioned, like, there are these multiple different versions of Loki in comic book lore, and I think that there's like reason to believe that we could that the Loki show itself could delve into this. And so, like, could this be like you know, we're assembling the Loki Avengers, except all of the Avengers are just Loki? Like, could it be like Tom Hiddleston and like three different actors as Loki? You know, I think that could be fun. Jankinator wrote and said, will this be a send-off or a swan song of Tom Hiddleston as Loki? Like, is there a version of this, Kevin, where Hiddleston's Loki, who has been with the MCU since basically the very, 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 very beginning, since the fourth movie in the franchise with Thor, this was a career-making turn for this man. Can you envision the world where, like, this is the end for him, and what this show is actually setting up is a bunch of different actors, or an actor, like another actor, being Loki moving forward? Or do we set up that expectation at our own peril, considering how many times we thought we were, just when they thought he was out, like, they pulled Hiddleston back in? Like, is there just no defeating Loki, or defeating Tom Hiddleston's Loki at this point?
I mean, I think there's no defeating Loki. It's hard to say no defeating Tom Hiddleston's Loki. It's hard because part of me really believed that Ragnarok might have been the last, you know, Thor movie. I thought that maybe, you know, Endgame was the last time we saw Chris Hemsworth as Thor, maybe. But that's clearly not the case. We're getting a lot more Chris Hemsworth as Thor, so he's going to continue onwards. So I do think it's a possibility for Tom Hiddleston to continue as Loki. That said, I do think there's something interesting to do with the, you know, rise of the new Asgardians, the from the comics, you know, Asgard Reborn, where that's how the Lady Loki was first introduced. That's how we eventually get Kid Loki. So I think there's a possibility of handing off the Loki mantle to someone else other than Tom Hiddleston. And this could be his, you know, black swan song moment here for him. But it's really hard to say. It's really hard to say. And even worse, it's hard for me to know what I want, which is, I guess, a good thing, because then I can be better surprised and kind of go in really learning and being like shown like, oh yes, this is the right way to go. So that's a kind of hard call, because as fun as it is to think about like an all Loki team of different versions of Loki, I think Deadpool had that as well at one point. Part of me wants to be like, yeah, but maybe vary it up just a little bit, like, you know.
Yeah,
I think variants of other characters would be fun. I'm a sucker for that. I'm a sucker for like a team of variants. So if it's all just a team of variants of Loki, it's still the same person at its core. So give me yeah, something weird. Give me a variance of other people all on a team together.
Let me make a prediction about how Loki is going to end.
Danger.
The time variance authority is going to change. It is going to become the time variance authority. And it's just going to be a bunch of loci in charge of the timeline.
I mean, I like the idea of the time variant authority.
Yeah.
And yeah. I don't like them being all Loki, but I like the idea of what
just
you said.
Just a bunch of different Loki in the same way that it's like a
the
bunch
Council
of Ricks.
The Council of Ricks, right?
The Council of Ricks. That's yeah, the cool Council thing. Of Loki.
I mean, like, the Rick and Morty influence is certainly there. It would, for me, though, I'd like the slight difference here, because for me personally, and this is my own thing because of just being so absorbed into pop culture, right? I love the Council of Ricks. It's probably my favorite, like, element of Rick and Morty they've been messing with, not just the council itself, but the things that have spun out of it. But like, I've seen that before too, right? Like you the Council of Reeds is a thing in Fantastic Four comics. You know, there's in Supreme, one of the more famous ones of comics that Alan Moore created, the idea of a variant of a super, you know, a council of the variant Superman, essentially analogs that all exist and serve time and protect time and space together, which was, I think, for me, it's hard to say. Like, I would love if anyone else has this knowledge too. Was that the first? If someone knows what the first, you know, Council of X type thing is, I would love to know it, because for me, it's that. That's one of the ones that came to mind is Alan Moore Supreme. But maybe there's another one out there. So I've seen this before, right? I've seen it's a version of the same character over and over. And as much as I love Loki, it's not the character I want for that. I don't want that for Loki. I don't want this too much Loki for me.
Who do you want that for in terms of live action?
See, for me, I want the different types, right? Like, this is something Grant Morrison actually did in the Multiversity comics, which I actually love that, is like, it's different versions of characters from different worlds. So you have like, President Superman, who is a black Superman from one world. You have a different version of the Flash, who is a Flash from a different universe. You have this guy who's like a lamplighter or something like that. Not lamplighter, that's the boys. But you have like the Flashlight, I believe it is, who is a Green Lantern type character from another world. And these characters all make up this like council. So there's all these different versions. Captain Carrot, who's a you know, cartoon bunny rabbit that's like kind of like Superman. So it's all these different versions. I like that idea, right? I think that's cool to have like almost like the organization is made up of different variants of different types of characters rather than just the one character. I think that's kind of cool and fascinating, can be really fun to play with.
From Josh Lemer, Josh writes in and asks, would you prefer if Loki stays as 2012 Loki, or would you rather have him get his memories restored of the later films somehow? Like, would you like to see at some point in this show, Kevin, Loki revert back to like, beginning of Infinity War Loki?
I mean, personally, I don't think so. I feel like we lose something, right? Because like that version of Loki finished his character journey, has become like sort of like a good guy and had an end. When you bring that character back,
I think
back,
if that version
right?
of Loki had continued, he would have been, you know, it's no coincidence that like Loki is one of the worst characters in Ragnarok, and worst is like a harsh word because everything in Ragnarok is beautiful. So like, it's like worst by default to some extent. When I think about Ragnarok, like Loki is one of the last ones that I think about as far as like principal characters, like Thor number one, you get Hulk, Valkyrie, Korg and Meek. Like there's just a Grandmaster, Hela, like even Carl Urban, I probably think about before I think about Loki. Like, I feel like they finished that. Like, I feel like that Loki had hit the end of the line. There was nothing more to really do. So now, like, you just go back to, like, kind of, like, shitty, crappy, mean
right.
Loki.
Which
and,
is
like, what can you do? You know, what can you do with him? Are there other versions of redemption that he is able to find? Or is, like, does redemption not really matter? Like, are there different Lokis in different periods of time that are, like, more capable of being, you know, of, like, being stopped before they like commit genocide or whatever? Like, can like he like become like a father to himself? Like, you know, like I think about these kinds of things, and like I don't think that you need the Loki to like get like, you know, we don't need like him to like have like flash sideways to his like his whole life back, you know, and like, well, that was who I was before. Like, I don't think you need that to have an interesting character. I'm adamantly opposed, in fact, to him just being like reset to where he was at the start of Infinity War.
I agree. I feel like there's so much more ground to mine, you know, taking this version of character and messing with him and seeing where we can get from. So yeah, I don't want his memories, quote unquote, restored. Technically speaking, it's not his memories, right? It's being shown its alternate self. And we've even seen that technically speaking, we've seen that character beat, not from Loki, but like what happens when you see a past version of you sees a future version of you. That's what happened to Thanos. So we sort of even seen that element before. So I'd love to see something different and new with this one.
Yeah, I think so too. This is from Laurel. Laurel says, I'm here for anything MCU, but mostly for Owen Wilson. Kevin,
wow.
How excited are you? How excited are you to have Owen Wilson, who plays Mobius M. Mobius, who is one of the key members.
His name is Mobius M. Mobius? Is it Mobius, yes, Mobius, Mobius?
Yeah, I believe so. A character from the comics.
Is he?
Yes, he's a character from the comics. He is one of the central figures in the TVA. I'm really thrilled to have Owen Wilson in the MCU, and what it does for me, Kevin, is it adds like a slight element of danger, because like in theory, like this should be really, really fun. But if they play this wrong, it's disastrous. So there's like a dangerous element to having Owen Wilson here. Like, is this Zoolander Owen Wilson, or is this like behind enemy lines Owen Wilson, where he tried to like earnestly be an action hero once? Like, if they're trying to do that, I think it's a train wreck. But if they're trying to do something that is like more Zoolander with like slices of like Life Aquatic, you know, sort of like Wes Anderson Owen Wilson, where you can have your whimsy, but you can have your sincerity as well. That feels to me like the Owen Wilson you want here.
Yeah, I think what you're looking for is Shanghai Nights, Shanghai Noon Owen Wilson. That seems to be the split middle you're going for, where you still get the goofy, fun Owen Wilson, but there's some moments of, you know, of seriousness. Not a lot, because Shanghai Nights and Shanghai Noon are very much comedies. But I think that's the version we should get, and I really hope we do get. I think Owen Wilson has a thing that works for him, and I think he can find lines along that spectrum. But when you go into your own thing, you know, you end up in a like Tropic Thunder situation, right? Not that Tropic Thunder is bad, it's great, but that's the whole joke of Tropic Thunder, is trying to go outside what you normally do. And I think that this is exactly right. This is where we need him to be, like this type, where he's going to have more of the jokey fun and not just be like a dramatic, serious character, because that's just not Owen Wilson. Julie Louis-Dreyfus shows up in Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and she should be Julie Louis-Dreyfus, like an evil Selena Meyer, and that's what we got, and right. That's what we're thankful for. So I think same thing here. You gotta give the people what they want. And I think what the people want with Owen Wilson is pretty obvious.
Kevin, is there anything else Loki-wise that you want to get into here? Like, any expectations, any, like, final, like, advisories, statements, is like, any cautionary tales?
Cautionary tales.
Are you nervous?
I'm so nervous, because
the MCU shows have been hit or miss with you.
It's not even that they're hit or miss, I think. It's just, I think a part of it is my own expectations. I do think the hit or miss does come in story elements. Obviously, there are story elements in Falcon and Winter Soldier that didn't work out as well as I think they should have and could have and wish they had. And I do think story elements in WandaVision, predictions and hopes aside, didn't land for me for various reasons. So I think there is that element. But the stuff about WandaVision didn't happen until I started watching WandaVision, right? The theorizing and like, where could this go, didn't have until I started. This is happening before, because what they're presenting you with is, I think, much more obviously something that could be what we're hoping it to be, if that makes sense. And so if they don't deliver there, I think I will be disappointed. But that all said, here's the thing, Josh. As much as I'm like, do I want this to be a big, huge ramification into the Marvel Cinematic Universe? Absolutely. Would I love to see some multiverse shenanigans? 100%. Like, variants of different characters coming in and interacting and having like a moment where like a cartoon Captain America shows up, sure, give me that. If it isn't that, and if the show is just, I am Loki, I'm going to go back in time, and I have to help John Wilkes Booth kill Abraham Lincoln because I got to keep the timeline right, and that's the episodic weirdo nature of this show, Josh, I'm still going to love it. Because at the end of the day, Kevin is a simple, simple boy. Give him Quantum Leap, give him Sliders, and he will be very happy. So I think as much as my expectations are extremely high in the bigger ramifications, more so than what Falcon and Winter Soldier gave me, more so the parts that I liked about what WandaVision gave me, this is what this show can provide. It doesn't need to be this big, grand, epic scale. Give me the simplicity of Loki quantum leaping his way through the timeline, fixing what once went wrong, shenanigans happening, and I think I'll be extremely happy with this show.
Yeah. Yeah, I co-sign that. I too am a simple, simple man. And I just love Tom Hiddleston as Loki. And I especially love when he is just like a total, total turd.
I think we're going to get that.
You know, and if we get like, if we get like a total turd Disney Plus series about Loki, I'm going to be pretty happy. And also if it's got like cool ramifications for the greater MCU, that's dope. But like my expectations on that are I'm trying to keep pretty low, but like the pedigree behind it, the people involved, the subject matter, I'm relatively hyped. So I think it's going to be really, really fun. We're going to be recording these podcasts again the Thursday night after the show has come out on Wednesday morning. So you'll have your time to send in your feedback, but you want to get it in relatively quickly. Super@postshowrecaps.com or email us directly, josh@postshowrecaps.com or kevin@postshowrecaps.com or talk to us in the Post Show Recaps patron Discord. We're very active in there. We're happy to have conversations with you about Loki as Loki is going on. Just hit us up in there, patreon.com/postshowrecaps to sign up for the Discord, to talk to Kevin and I and everybody else about all things Loki. Kevin, the journey is about to begin. Are you ready to go back to Marvel? Are you ready to get back into the MCU? I have not minded the little break. It's like absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to get back into the MCU. I'm excited to actually transition from such like stuff I really love into stuff I love, you know. Sometimes like we could have easily gone a different route and done movies that would have made all of us very angry, but it was great to do the Superman films, get me really hyped, and then head into something that I'm extremely hyped about. I think it's going to be a fun time. I think it's going to be good. And again, like I think the comedy here is going to be great. Ultimately there were comedic elements in WandaVision, but it wasn't like a comedy show, right? It's a bit of a dramedy. If anything, it's more of a mystery comedy at best, right? And Falcon Winter Soldier is very much a drama. I think we have potential here to have a full-out comedy show, and I'm pretty pumped about that. Like, I'm ready to like laugh in the Marvel
Universe. Hiddleston's comedy chops are really, really great, and I think him and Owen Wilson might be a really fantastic team.
That's what I'm thinking
together.
About, too, right? Like, I hope we get enough Owen Wilson where it's them interacting and, like, Loki doing some stuff, and Owen Wilson just being like, why do you gotta do something like that? I think it's not very nice, you know? Like, I think it'd be really funny to have that interaction with these characters and have Owen Wilson being full-out Owen Wilson. Well, and I'm curious what the other characters are, because it can't be just these two characters. I mean, it could very well be, but I'm interested to see what else is being pulled in. I know there's some people theorizing already. I think I've seen on Twitter where someone had an article about like, could Loki be the gateway into the Marvel, you know, Marvel's X-Men? And it's just like, I mean, maybe, but guys, temper your expectations. Just chillax a little bit. I've been down this road. It's a bad place. Consider it, you know, this is me speaking to you from the future. I was once where you were. I've come back in time to tell you, relax. Just enjoy what we're about to get and don't get too lost into predictions.
I am done expecting X-Men to show up in anything. They'll just appear whenever they want.
Yeah, they've Ralph boned us before, so
so I'm not looking at that. I don't think that's something that's going to be going down. All right, well, we'll be back next week. Just a quick hi, how are you? We're talking about Loki on Post Show Recaps podcast for you today. Just getting the ball rolling, wetting the appetite, getting you excited. We are getting excited as well. It's going to be a really exciting time here on Post Show Recaps as we talk about the God of Mischief.
Did you say God of Mischief?
I said the God of Mischief. I don't know what's happened. That was a prank.
The God of Mischief. He's just
the God of Mischief. Himself. Loki is going to hit Disney Plus on June 9th. Our recap will drop on June 11th and every Friday after that. Until then, everybody, take care. Goodbye.